And it's the idea of drive. Now let me ask you, when you wake up in the morning on Monday morning, what drives you? What gives you that start? You know, a lot of people, to the person that the non-Christian, in one way to say it, they might say, you know, it's work. It's to be the best that they can be. That's one application of the way the world sees drive and purpose. To be the best that I can be. And in another sense, if you've been on Facebook for any amount of time, you've probably seen something to the effect of be the change you wish to see in the world. You've probably seen that statement before. And it's the idea of being a positive change in the world. Not being necessarily the best that you can be, but leaving others in the best state that they can be. You know, having the most impact. But I believe that God has placed another, there's another purpose in there, in our lives. And it's we're going to look at the scripture here in a second. And I believe that it's something that each and every one of us is born with. So I want to talk for just a couple of minutes about the word purpose, which is by definition the reason that something is done. But we're going to talk about a couple of definitions in this sense. So in James chapter 4, verse 13, you're welcome to read along if you'd like, but it's James chapter 4, 13, and it says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a city and spend a year there and carry on our business and make money." This is in the Amplified version, by the way. The next verse, it says, "Yet you do not know the least thing about what may happen tomorrow. What is the nature of your life? You are really but a wisp of vapor, a puff of smoke, a mist that is visible for a little while and then disappears into thin air. You ought instead to say, if the Lord is willing, we shall live and we shall do this thing or that thing." There's a contrast here in the plans of man and the plans of God. In another scripture, it's Proverbs 19 and 21. And it kind of wraps this all up in just one thought. It says, "Many plans are in a man's mind, but it's the Lord's purpose for him that will stand." So I want to talk about the classic sense of the word purpose, and that's why we do things and why the reason that something exists, right? But there's another sense that I believe God has implanted into us, and it's the idea of it's the other definition of the word purpose, and that's if you were to look up like in a thesaurus or something, the synonym of the word purpose, it's determination or resolve. And so I'm not necessarily talking about, you know, God has a plan for your life. It's living out God's will and living out God's purpose in your life. And so that's, I'm going to pull up one last verse here. And that's Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11. It says, "He has made everything beautiful in its time. He also has planted eternity into men's hearts and minds." And I love what the Amplified says about this. It says, "He also has planted eternity into men's hearts and minds, a divinely implanted sense of a purpose working through the ages, which nothing under the sun but God can satisfy. Yet so that men cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end." So when I ask the question of what drives you or what's your purpose or what keeps you going throughout the day, whether it's through your school, your personal life, your social life, or your work life, your meetings, the goals that are set for you in your job, I believe that God has placed something inside of each and every one of us that does that says, not just seize the day, not just let me make the best of this for myself, or let me change others' lives in a positive way, but it's to live out God's purpose. It's to live out eternity. And that's something that's natural. That's something that's intrinsic in each and every one of our lives. And that's the thought I want to communicate today, is that purpose, not just in the sense of being the best that I can be, but to live out God's eternal purpose that he has in each and every one of us. Amen. God bless you.
I'd like to dismiss the platform. Thank you, Brother Laksamana. Do we need to dismiss anybody for anything? Children? We have always communicated the importance of knowing God's will and purpose and where we should be in all of that, and the importance of being especially where the Lord has placed you. Of course, only you can conclude between you and God and come to the place of admittance. God has placed me here. I hope that if you work a 9-to-5, you have come to that place and have peace where you are. Because oftentimes the stresses, the pressures, the difficulties, the conflicts that you'll face on your 9-to-5 will challenge that in you. It's resolve that keeps you there. For whatever length of time, he determines. I remember feeling at one time that I was Joseph in the prison. But I was really hoping I wasn't going to stay there as long as he did. Under those circumstances. Amen. I saw a post this morning. It was a picture of this building with cartoon characters standing in front of it. I think it was Sister Berglund's post, unless Brother Berglund had signed in under her name. It's possible. And she made a statement in her post. She said, Life Church Puyallup, this is my church. So I don't know what she was meaning in that, or if it was him that posted it, but I saw that as an admittance. She was making a public statement. I don't think it was a promotional advertisement. At least that's not how I saw it and received it. But it was a personal admittance. If in your history you have spent time in various congregations, more than one, then you have experienced different leaders, different leadership styles. You have referred to different individuals as pastor, I suppose. And you went through some kind of transition, hopefully. And you made the transition. Some transfer, but never make the transition. And come to at that place of admittance. Because let me talk to you just for a minute about the importance of this. And this is why we encourage individuals. If you're looking, then look and get resolve. And be there. I have visited with individuals that talked about, well, we're new in the area and we're looking around, checking out churches, and there's a list. And there's several of you here who have been through that scenario. Several. And I know that it's a natural thing to first see, well, let's see, did we feel welcomed when we were there? Did anybody even talk to us? Or did we feel like we were outsiders coming in and probably going to go right back out? Or how good are their musicians? Because we enjoy music. I have visited churches that on their visitor card said, do you play an instrument? I visited a church in Trenton, New Jersey one time, and when they gave me the card and filled it out and it said, do you play an instrument? I looked up. There was nobody on the piano. There was nobody on the organ. There was nobody on an instrument. And I could tell they were so let down that I didn't play something. I just walked in the door. And so I know that these things enter into our thinking process in that scenario. Okay? Let me read to you out of the book of Acts, chapter 20. Let's start at verse 17. Just get the whole piece of it here. Paul is writing and communicating. And he says at verse 17, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. When they were come to him, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. He is about to make a journey, and in his praying, in his waiting upon the Spirit of God for his own personal direction on this transfer, on this move, the Holy Ghost is allowing him to know some things. This is going to be a tough trip. This is going to be a tough journey. You're going to experience some very unpleasurable things along the way, but it is my will for you to go, and it is my will for you to get there. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. I wanted to comment earlier. It is now that we enter into the fifth ministry segment of the service today. As I sat at the table downstairs in the prayer room, the Holy Ghost ministered unto me. That was the first session. As I came upstairs and sat on the platform and Brother Johnstone took the microphone and began to speak out, the second ministry segment began. And from song to song, the words that were spoken, the worship that was another ministry segment. You know, the Bible says, do all things decently and in order. It's, you know, we don't count this portion of the service today as the pinnacle, because wherever and when it is that the Holy Ghost begins to speak to me and minister to me, for me, that's the pinnacle. Verse 25. And now, behold, I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone day, night and day with tears. I am drawn specifically to the scripture that speaks of to all of the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. A spiritual appointment by God has put you in a position of covering, of overseeing, of ministering, of feeding. See, that's not a political appointment. That's not a voted in opportunity. It is a spiritual act of God, but it takes a resolve and an admittance to know that this has been the case. I shared with somebody a week ago, I lived 10 minutes from that church in Trenton, New Jersey for several years. I was an alcoholic. I was going from bar to bar. I didn't know what to do next. I'd had an experience as a 10-year-old boy at an altar in a Nazarene church, felt the presence of God, but that was it. And not knowing what to do, the Lord drew me from that place, drove right past that United Pentecostal Church in Trenton, and drove 3,000 miles to another town, where in just months, the Lord led me to the First United Pentecostal Church of Yakima and Daniel Leslie, who I would come to know as my overseer, my pastor. And for 14 years, glean from that relationship and that experience to know he was my covering. This November, my wife and I and daughters came here 20 years ago, November 1995. It was a week before I came to visit to minister. The Lord spoke to me when I was driving down to a grocery store in Sunnyside, Washington. and spoke to me about what I was to speak about when I got to Puyallup. This was the strongest indication to me that the Lord was sending me. And after going through the process, and there was a process, here we are. But from my perspective, sent of the Holy Ghost. Therefore, from the in respect of the scripture of what Paul is saying, I believe for some that he hath made me overseer. Appointment by the Holy Ghost. There are some who came to resolve that over time. God gives us all time. And some not. I had a scenario develop here. I was as a younger pastor. Situation developed one day that I knew was shouldn't have been that way. And when I got home, it just wouldn't leave my spirit. And I got on the phone and I called an individual. It wasn't you. You weren't here. And I called and said, I need to talk to you about what happened in the service today. He had done something openly, publicly, and I just needed to say something. So I tenderly, you know, very carefully told him, what you did was wrong, and here's why it was wrong. And I needed to help you with this, right? He heard me, he listened to me, but I knew that when he got off the phone, he was not happy with me. But I didn't have the choice. And, you know, when the next services came, I could tell things are a little shaky there. Did my best, you know, to socially be the, you know, nice guy, but at the same time, never backing up from what the Holy Ghost had spoke to me about that situation, because God had gave me oversight. It's not about any ability that I had acquired. It's about no experiences that I'd ever had or walked in. It was simply listening to the Holy Ghost. Now, I valued that in Brother Leslie. There were other leaders in the congregation, as a matter of fact, you've heard me say this. When I was needing direction, when I was needing an answer, and I was on my way to church, not knowing who it was going to be that would be in the pulpit that night or, you know, take the microphone and begin teaching and speaking and ministering, but I had developed by that time a confidence that the Holy Ghost had put overseers in my life and they would help me and lead me and direct me and bring answers. I so loved to watch my pastor was such a man's man, common man, just a real guy. He didn't wear an air and put on any kind of a facade, or he wasn't worried about you thinking it's perfect. Matter of fact, he would rather you know he was imperfect. But there was a tendency. Somebody uses the word a tail. You know, you got a tail. Every time you get nervous, you scratch your head or something like that. So when somebody knows that and they see you scratching your head, they know they're nervous. I could be in a conversation with Brother Leslie, and he'd go, you ever hear that? He'd go, and I'd go, because I knew the next thing coming out of his mouth, Holy Ghost had prompted him. And I was listening. He was given oversight in my life. And I had resolved that, and I knew that, and I coveted it. I waited on it. I lived for it. Now, Once again, an individual who has transferred two times, maybe three times in their life for the, you know, whatever reasons, they have reasons, and God moves people. Some people struggle to get the resolve that God has made an appointment and gave oversight, which is a covering and a protection. It's not about rule or law or governing to that aspect, but it truly is about covering and shepherding. It's about warning. Well, that particular individual didn't seem to ever gain that. So I was just another pastor on the list. And we were going to see who would last longer. He'd already been here longer. Who's going to last longer, him or me? It was uncomfortable. You never want people feeling bad about you or the things that you've said, and especially when you know it was the Holy Ghost that interjected, intervened, and prompted to say something to try to help correct, reprove, instruct. And some time passed. I was sitting in the dining room of our house, eating a meal with family. The phone rings. It's the spouse. My husband's under attack. He is under attack spiritually. It is so bad, he is on the floor. He cannot get off the floor. I said, I'm coming. I got up from the table, dismissed myself from my family, and I said, I have to go. When I arrived at the individual's home, knocked on the door. Of course, the wife came to the door and opened it. And I walked into the individual. All I did was just lay my hand on the gentleman's back and just barely begin to speak and pray. And everything that was oppressing him just left. He got up off the floor. He said, Oh my goodness, this is great. Oh my goodness, this is wonderful. You don't understand how terrible this was. You don't understand the intensity of the attack that I was suffering under. And I said, Tell me. And in 15 minutes, I dismissed myself. I said, my family's having dinner. I'm going to go ahead and go back. Okay? And so I go back. If I recall correctly, before the night was out, I got another call. It's happening again. It's worse. Okay. I'll be there. Late into the evening, I drove. I went to the house and walked in, began to pray, take authority over unclean spirits and all this. He got up off the floor. He walked to the house and he began to pray. And so, now listen, I'm not thinking, you know, wow, you know, I've got this, all this power. And I'm this spiritual dude. No. I'm remembering the feelings that this man has towards me. And the second time I go, I realize the Lord is trying to establish something with this gentleman. He's trying to establish with him that the Holy Ghost has given somebody oversight, that authority will flow through and provide a covering over his life. But, you know, there are people that resist, even apostolics, that resist the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
I was reminded of Stephen's ministry, and, you know, they looked on this guy like he was, you know, had the face of an angel, but in his ministering to them, he trying to bring them along the way through history of the Jews and brought them up to a point, and all of a sudden he shifted and he said, why do you always resist the Holy Ghost?
Right.
Just like your fathers did. Well, he didn't put that in How to Influence and Influence People. Peter was standing and ministering under the unction of the Holy Ghost to help save, redeem, and provide a covering because of some appointment that was in his life. Paul is referring to elders that have been appointed over cities and over the flock which the Holy Ghost had made you an overseer. So you have to understand, the overseer doesn't say, you know, I kind of like you. Okay, I'll provide some covering for you. We haven't known each other that long. You know, I don't know. Stick around. Let's see how it goes. Amen. I don't know who this is for today. It is for me. It's important to resolve. It's important to allow God's leading to lead you to the place that you can say and resolve, Life Church, Puyallup, this is my church. Amen. Or come to the place of understanding, wow, you know, these people are nice. You know, their music's pretty good. But I'm just not sure. I think the Lord is leading us, you know. That's why we have to be believers who are led by the Spirit of God. Sons of God being led by the Spirit of God so that he can lead us in places. See, you have a DNA spiritually as well as physically. And there's things that he's invested in you and made you and shaped you that he can place you, not for just the benefit, Brother Miko, of yourself, but for the connectivity of others that God is making up for the benefit of others in the body of Christ and maybe in the community. I'm just saying. It's a good thing to know. Many of you have heard me say this, but I'm gonna repeat it. Brother Leslie began to use me in services to just lead the service. And in leading the service, I began to experience and exercise following the leading of the Spirit in a service. I don't know if I would have gotten that any other way, but that was the way for me that it all started and began. It wasn't through preaching, because in 14 years I spoke in the Yakima Church 5 times. When I went to Sunnyside, I had to do it every week. And I wondered, how am I going to do this? But the unction was there. The inspiration was there. And therefore, for me, it was a witness to my calling. He sent me there. The day that I was visiting Brother Leslie over by his roofing business, we were outside. He was doing some work on the ground, and I was standing there and talking. And I was telling him a little bit about what I knew. I had had a business connection with the pastor that was here, and I already knew that he was leaving because he told me he was. And my wife had family here, and we were concerned for them because we knew they didn't know. And so I'm discussing this with my pastor. And all at once, he looked up at me and he said, are you going to run your name? Well, I went to Sunnyside to die as far as I was concerned. We never had any thoughts beyond that. you know, we left Yakima, went to Sunnyside, been there 2 years. And it has never entered into my mind until he made that statement. There was something quickened in my spirit. And I said, yes. And I thought, where did that come from? What does that mean? I couldn't get home fast enough in Sunnyside to tell my wife. I said, honey, Brother Leslie asked me this question. I said, she says, what'd you say? I said, yes. You did? I said, yeah. When I spoke that to Brother Leslie, the Lord put it in my spirit that I was going. He took out of my spirit the compelling need to be in Sunnyside. When it was discovered by the few folks that we had gathered in Sunnyside, who half the time really didn't want to be gathered, they came to my house and said, Brother, there's something wrong here. You're leaving the will of God. You know, if you knew these people. You're out of the will of God, leaving here and going over there to Puyallup. You're all messed up. There's something wrong. Well, I need to pray for you. And I'm thinking, dear God, don't pray for me. I have fought with you for 2 years, and you're not even interested. And you're trying to keep me here. Now I know it's God that's sending me. Thank you for witnessing and showing up. God wants to lead us by his spirit. He wants us to know without question. Because, you know, there's one writer said, when the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place. For yielding pacifieth great offenses. That tells me that when there is a conflict that comes up, that arises, some kind of a challenge. And I realize it says the spirit of the ruler, but somebody who has Holy Ghost oversight gets checked in their spirit, there's something wrong. I got to investigate this. I got to talk to this individual about this situation. I need to help them. And all of a sudden, it conflicts with their personal agenda. It conflicts with their personal direction. The first thought is, I'm out of here. I'm not going to live under this. I'm not going to continue in this. I'm going to go. But the writer of Scripture says, don't go. Just yield. To me, what's the word that says it's in my words? Let me paraphrase. Thank you. I had to think about what I was going to say. The Lord always wants to help us. He is the shepherd. We are under shepherds. But it's a function of the body of Christ. It's a function of the living church in the earth. It's not a function necessarily of varied named congregations. It is a function of the living church that he said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so as I endeavor simply to walk in the Spirit, following his leading, then this should serve as a function in my life. And I think every once in a while, not totally sure, but I think he tests it sometimes. What are you going to do with this? How are you going to react to this? And when you've reacted poorly one time, he'll give you another chance. He'll give you another opportunity to learn of the benefit. Amen. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn every night and day with tears. Why don't you stand? I never refer to you as a number. I never refer to you as a number. Every once in a while, somebody will ask me, hey, what are you running? Oh, I say 60 or 70. I know it's more than that, but I really don't care. Because you've never become a number. That's not what our focus is, to assemble a mass. Costco does that. Walmart does that. Cheap stuff, cheap prices. Everybody will be at the door lined up. Well, Costco, they do have value. Do you remember the first time you went to a Costco? Did you get there before they opened? You ever been there before they opened? So you stood in that line of 20, 30 people and wondered, is there even another store around where people line up at the door before they're open? I remember that. We're not talking about Black Friday. It's important for the function of the body of Christ for all of us to be as God has led us. You know, we do the social thing. Somebody was not here last week. Oh, we missed you. Well, yes, of course we missed you, but we're really wanting to try to let them know we miss them just so they don't get bad feelings. You know, so the pastor's wife, she goes down a list each week and says, okay, who we missed, who did, who wasn't there, who wasn't there. Oh, we missed you. Because some have said, you know, oh, I missed one time and nobody called me. Just in case, you know. Well, I don't do that, I'm sorry. I'm probably the most unsocial. And I, please forgive me if that's, you know, if that bothers you. I don't do that. If the Holy Ghost checks me, and you've been consistent for the last 10 years, I'm calling. Everything all right? How you doing? What's going on? Let's have lunch. I'll pick the place. That's another thing you have to learn to endure around here. Was a guy that God spoke to and told him, I want you to be somewhere and I want you to say something. He became nervous. He got scared. And while God was sleeping, he packed up and ran the other way. Down to Joppa, got down into the bottom of a boat. In the boat, he was not where he was supposed to be. God was trying to direct his life and use him for a function and purpose in his kingdom. And he's in a boat. He's found a comfortable spot. Finally, he has shed himself of all that, and he is sleeping. Got him a pillow. Storm kicks up. He's still sleeping. He's become deaf to the voice of God. He's pushed him out so much. one of the sailors comes down and says, "Man, what are you doing sleeping here? We're about to die. The ship's about to break up. Who are you anyway? Where'd you come from?" "Well, I was just shopping churches, and I thought maybe that this was the one I should be at." All of a sudden, all those around him begin to suffer. As long as he stayed in that boat, man, they turned their beady eyes on him and said, "There's something wrong here. There is something. You don't belong here." You think that can't be felt in the spirit? That's not a bad, I mean, that doesn't mean a person's bad. But this is how important it is that God lead you and you respond to him, because it's going to affect the function of the body. Some have said it's like a family around here. Well, in a situation like that, it's like, dude, you are unrelated. They were not going to get peace in the boat until they got him out of that boat. It was not the will of God for him to be in that boat. God had a purpose and a plan and a will. You understand, I'm not here trying to run anybody off. I'm trying to help somebody. I'm trying to help somebody in your concept. Receive this. This is the concept of God. This is the will of God. Receive it into your spirit and gain understanding and knowledge that he cares this much for you, that he truly will order your steps. Order your steps. Lead you down a narrow path. You don't want that wide road. Narrow path. Amen. Sister Johnstone, would you?
Take me and mold.
What a deep moving of the Holy Ghost we have felt throughout this gathering here today. Deep impressions of the Spirit of God. Heaviness of his covering. We've not stepped away from that. We continue to walk in that. Come on, receive it into your spirit. Embrace it. Embrace this today. Come to the resolve that you need in the name of Jesus. A military family receives an opportunity of a job transfer, not an order, an opportunity of a job transfer, and moves their family to the East Coast. And 6 months later on a phone, "Hey, have you found a church yet?" "No, we haven't found anything. We're still looking." Where their spirit was being ministered to and fed, they stepped away because of opportunity. And now for 6 months, they and their kids are still searching, still longing, still hungry. What in the world were the requirements that you were looking for? What was the object of you picking up your family and going so far away? To this day, I don't know if they ever found it. Jesus, order our steps. Lead our way. Lead our way, Father. I'd like to open this altar for you, for us. Come on, let him lead you. Let him guide you. Let him order your steps. Look for the right purpose. Let him establish his purpose in you, that you can live it out daily, as was spoken earlier.
I'm captured by
gave you this authority. You see, these were the people that had authority in the temple. These were the head honchos. These were the people who sat in the seat of authority. And this new guy came in here, and when he taught with authority. In fact, earlier on in Matthew, it says they were blown away because he taught them as one having authority. When they used the term as one having authority, he wasn't the one in authority in their minds, but he taught with the authority. So now they're saying, who gave this to you? We don't remember voting you in. We don't remember consecrating you. We don't remember doing this. We don't remember going through the process. Who gave this to you? Verse 24. Jesus answered and said to them, I will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I and likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John. That crazy guy that was out there in the wilderness wearing camel's hair for clothes and eating locusts and wild honey. Whence was it? From heaven or of men? Who ordained John? You want to know where I got my authority? Let me ask you about John. Because everybody knew John. Everybody knew who John was. Did you guys ordain John? Did you guys give authority to John? Or was it from heaven? Oh, man. That devastated them. Because they reasoned with themselves saying, if we say from heaven, then he's going to ask us, well, why didn't you listen to him? Verse 26, they said, if we say of men, all the people will kill us because everyone thought John was a prophet. And the Lord obviously used him. And so they resolved in verse 27, we can't tell. I'm thankful today for God-given authority and oversight. Not chosen, not picked, not selected from a lineup, but God-given. Because he knows me. He knows exactly what I need. He knows that I'm weird and he knows that I'm awkward. And he knows that I don't maybe do it like other people would do it, or I don't think like other people would think, or maybe I don't see things like other people would see things. And so he puts an oversight in my life who maybe understands that. I could pick someone. I've known people to pick people with bigger names and, you know, well, I want to go to this church in that state, or I want to go to this church in that state because that's the cool church. That's the church everyone knows about in the country. But maybe that's not the person that heaven's chosen and heaven's given the authority in my life. Amen. Thank you for being here today. What a powerful day. By the way, other than him, ain't nothing else was planned today. Aren't you thankful today that heaven chose today? He's the only one that knew he was supposed to speak today. The rest of us, heaven chose. Aren't you glad when his leading's in everything? Aren't you glad when he just takes over every situation? Not just the church service, not just our encounters on the street, but when he takes over everything in our lives. Amen. Thank you again. God bless you. We'll see you back here on Wednesday night.